Good morning. Good morning. Just a second. Okay. I'll be reading from the CSB Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. So, kiddos, this is a letter that Paul wrote to people that lived in a place called Philippi. So that's why it's called Philippians. He wrote, "Not that I have reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and I now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. And they are focused on earthly things. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself." The word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Mike Stroh. I'm the associate pastor here, and let me add my word of welcome to everybody, especially if you're a guest with us this morning. It's a joy to gather on this baptism Sunday. Thank you, Carrie Jane, for reading our scripture. Well, this past couple of weeks, our family enjoyed a nature documentary that we just sort of stumbled upon called Secrets of the Octopus. Have you seen this? I didn't realize octopus had secrets, but they do, and this documentary reveals some or all of them. It goes over all of these really incredible things about these creatures. Most amazing to me, though, was the mimic octopus. It was only discovered in 1998 because of what a good mimic it is, hiding in plain sight. Lots of animals, we know, blend in some way with their environment in some really amazing ways, but I think the mimic octopus takes this to a whole nother level. It's pretty small, it's vulnerable, and so it mimics other sea creatures that are more threatening and intimidating to scare away predators to survive. It not only knows how to transform its body and change its shape, it can even change the color of its skin and the texture of its skin in an instant. It can transform into all sorts of things. On the left side, you see the octopus. On the right is some of the things it's trying to turn into. It can transform itself into a soulfish, a lionfish, even a sea snake, to the point where sometimes even those species are convinced. And those are just a few of its disguises. See, the mimic octopus stays alive because it's an expert imitator. But it doesn't just mimic anything it sees, right, at random, at any time. Knowing just the right creature to turn into at just the right time is vital to its survival. It means the difference between life and death. And we know people are imitators too. Children learn to talk by imitating the sounds that their parents make. We pick up clues from our caregivers as we grow, and throughout our lives, from the culture around us, we mimic them. As much as we like to think that we're all totally independent and wholly original, we're all influenced. We're all shaped by the people around us, by their examples. And so it's not a question of if, but who. Who are you imitating? See, in the Christian life, we have to be so intentional about who our examples are, who we're watching to show us the way to follow Christ. Of course, ultimately, our perfect example is Jesus Christ himself. But we all need role models. We all need mentors along the way. See, part of imitating Christ is imitating those who follow him closely. Who in your life are you imitating? Who's imitating you? These important questions point us to the scriptures that we're going to dive into this morning. Continuing in our series called Discipleship Design, we've been looking primarily at the Gospels to see what Jesus himself has to say about what it means to be a disciple. And this morning we're going into a couple of epistles, but we're still rooted in these words of Jesus. Over the last three sermons, Pastor Stanerik has walked us through this three-part command of Jesus to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. And as is fitting on Baptism Sunday, we're going to spend a little more time on that third part of the command, what it means to follow, particularly what it looks like to follow Jesus by also following his followers, because we're all imitators. It's not a question of if, it's who. And so we'll see in these scriptures that Jesus' command to follow him includes intentionally, carefully following others as we all follow Christ together. And so let's pray as we turn to these scriptures. Father, thank you for this good day to worship you, to celebrate the joy of those taking this important step of faith. Would you bless them, the families and friends that have come to be part of this day? We thank you for their presence with us. Would you open our hearts to the word that you have for us today? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we'll look at just a couple of key passages this morning that draw this out. But if you have a Bible, you can turn first to 3 John. We'll get to Philippians 3 in a minute, but start in 3 John. That's almost at the end of the New Testament, just a single chapter. John is writing this letter to his spiritual son, Gaius, about the importance of walking in truth. He says in verse 4 that he has no greater joy than to hear that his children or his spiritual children are walking in truth. Walking in truth, or following Jesus, it's more than knowing truth. It's living it out, which is the evidence that we know God. This is why we need examples to follow, brothers and sisters alongside us who are following him in their everyday lives. Now, unfortunately, this church that John was writing to, not everybody was as commendable as Gaius. Look at verse 9. John says, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. John names names here. He singles out this guy, Diotrephes. Not only was this guy not showing hospitality, he was keeping other people in the church from doing so, even kicking people out who were getting in the way of his agenda. You have to wonder, how did this guy get plugged into this church? This isn't just some random guy who walked in off the street and starts trying to kick people out of the church. He seems to have had some authority that was given to him, maybe even by John himself or by others in the church. But John has to step in here and call him out because he knows that some genuine believers are going to be looking at this guy's example and maybe following it. Diotrephes probably started with good motives, like most of us often do, right? desiring to use his leadership gifts in the church. His refusal to welcome traveling missionaries may have started as a desire to protect the church from outside influence or false teaching. Maybe people were prone to follow Diotrephes because he presented himself as a strong leader. He got things done in the church. Sure, he's a little rough around the edges. He's got a habit of talking wicked nonsense, but he's a leader. Is that what John says? No, it's not what John says. John has to step in and confront Diotrephes. Look at verse number 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil. In other words, don't follow Diotrephes' example. Do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. And so this statement here is the central imperative of this short letter of 3 John. John is saying, my beloved friend Gaius, be an imitator of good. Christian, walk in the truth. Be aware. Watch your heart and your actions. Be sure you're imitating those who you think you're imitating. The word for imitate here means to mimic what you see someone else doing. And so don't miss John's point. This isn't just saying avoid bad influences. Sometimes we stop there, don't we? John's not saying just avoid bad influences. He's saying actively, purposely, intentionally imitate the good. See, if we focus on that second part, often the first will take care of itself. Well, how do we know who to follow? Especially if people like Diotrephes can slip into the church and lead people astray. So this shows us we want to always be discerning. We don't just want to follow blindly, but at the same time, we never want to become so jaded, so proud, so guarded that we don't follow anybody anywhere. That's a bad problem too. John says, watch those who do good. In other words, look at the fruit of their lives. Are they walking out the truth in their daily lives? Are they living out what they say they believe? Are the fruits of the Spirit growing in them? See, John has to step in here and remind this church of some basic truth. People can all day long say they know Jesus, but if they're not trying to live like Jesus in their lives, they're not really following him. It's really as simple as that. Now, nobody's perfect. John's not holding up a standard of sinless perfection here, but John's talking about those who do good as a way of life, sinning like everybody else, struggling like everybody else, but growing, transformed by Jesus Christ, showing the life of Christ in them by showing his character, his virtues, his heart. So let's think back to this threefold command of discipleship that we've been looking at. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. How's Diotrephes doing with this? How's he living this out? Verse 9, he likes to put himself first. If deny yourself is step one, Diotrephes isn't off to a great start, right? We get the idea. John is saying, church, watch out here who you're imitating. I've told the story before of driving in a snowstorm growing up in northeastern Ohio. This is a fairly common thing. But it was dark and I couldn't see the road. All I could see was the taillights in front of me. And for some dumb reason, I had it in my head, if I could just stay behind those taillights in front of me, I'll be okay. Well, if you haven't heard the story, you know where it's going. Into the ditch. Because I followed this guy right off the road. Because, of course, he couldn't see the road either. And so I shouldn't have just blindly followed him. I've since learned my lesson. I've moved to Dallas, where there's fewer snowstorms. But in the Christian life, I often wonder, I look at myself, and I wonder how many of us give careful thought to who we're following. Careful thought to how it affects us. I don't just mean the spiritual leaders in the church and in our lives. That's, of course, a part of what John's talking about. But we're also affected by all those that we follow. Could be those that we follow on social media. It could be the podcasts that we listen to. It could be the news, the media that we consume. Could be someone you know who has a lifestyle that you admire. And deep down in your heart, you're following that person to try to get what they have. Maybe you're gravitating toward a particular type of personality. See, it's human nature to imitate those we follow, but if we're not careful, we follow people right into the ditch of pride and fear, covetousness, materialism, complacency, prayerlessness. So we need to be careful, John is saying, who we imitate. But now let's turn over for a moment to Philippians chapter 3. The word that we just saw John use here for imitate is used repeatedly by Paul. The Apostle Paul uses it twice in the letter of 1 Corinthians. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. But let's just look for a moment how he drives this point home in Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 17. Paul says, join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. This is a bold statement to make. Even for an apostle, maybe, right? How does he do this with honesty and humility? How can he hold himself up as an example to follow? But Paul's not speaking with pride here. He's not acting like he's perfect. Remember, elsewhere he says he sees himself as the chief of sinners. But he knows that in discipleship, we all need examples to follow, to look to. So let's think about Paul's example for just a minute. If you have Philippians 3 in front of you, just scan up to the top of the chapter here. He starts out by laying out all of these things that he could boast about. His heritage, his accomplishments, his religion. Look at verse 7. But everything that was gain to me, I have considered to be loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. What Paul is saying here, this is Christ's command to deny yourself. And Paul is living this out in decisive action. He's embodying this command of Christ. See, Paul was willing to deny himself, to cast aside everything that held him back from knowing and following Christ. Well, what about the next part? What about taking up his cross? Look at verse 10. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. So Paul denied himself. Paul took up his cross and he followed after Jesus. Look at verse 12. Look at how he followed. Not that I've already reached the goal or I'm already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I've also been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. This is Paul's example. This is how Paul lived out Jesus' call to follow him as a disciple. He denied himself daily. He willingly took up his cross in sacrificial service for others. And he followed after Christ with his whole heart. Not perfectly, as he even says here. He doesn't see himself as having attained it yet. But he's one being transformed as a Christ follower. So Paul was able to honestly and even humbly say, brothers and sisters, watch me. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus. And Paul's not after any glory here, being singled out, because he says, look at all those who live according to this example. Look at me. Look at all those who are walking like Jesus and following him close. And in chapter 4, he tells them, do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me. and the God of peace will be with you. See, this is woven into the very fabric of discipleship. The New Testament doesn't know anything about a lone Christian. So what does it look like practically to follow Jesus? Well, part of that we see in the lives of those around us. How are they practically living out their faith? I know I'm supposed to submit to the lordship of Christ in my life, and my brothers and sisters in Christ show me how they do that at work, in their parenting, and when they pay their taxes, with their priorities, with their hobbies. Commentator Ralph Martin puts it this way: for Christianity, the pattern of ethical teaching is embodied not in a written code of precepts and maxims covering every possible contingency of life, but in a life, preeminently the life of the Lord Jesus, and secondarily in the lives of his earliest and closest followers. We follow Jesus, and part of that is following those that are following him. And make no mistake, this is not a mindless copying of other people. Because as we follow Jesus, the Spirit of God in us, if we know him, transforms us more and more to where this becomes natural. God uses the examples of others in our lives to open our eyes to see how we may uniquely, in our personality, in our calling, in our circumstance, how we might live out this submission to the lordship of Christ. And this isn't just a one-way transaction. See, the more that we follow faithfully Jesus and his closest disciples, the more we grow into examples that others can look to, and that probably are already looking to. I like how John Stott said it. Ultimately, the child of God imitates the Savior, the Lord Jesus. He is our supreme example. Yet it is the case we all need earthly flesh and blood examples to imitate or mimic as well. We should ever be mindful on whom we set our eyes. We must also be mindful of those who have their eyes set on us. That can be a scary thought, can't it? People are watching you. People are watching you. We don't have to invite it either. If you're a Christian and other people know it, the people in your spheres of influence are watching your example. Your kids are watching you. Your grandkids are watching you. Your friends, your neighbors, those you have influence on. This truth can help spur us on to follow Jesus more closely because we know people are watching us too. So it's a sobering truth that we're being watched. We're being mimicked. But it shouldn't discourage us, because the standard that John and Paul and Jesus is laying out here isn't super Christian. That's not the standard. The standard is ordinary, faithful disciple. But still, some of us hear this truth, and maybe we're filled with guilt. Maybe we're filled with shame about the past. Maybe we look back and we say, you know, I wasn't the example for my kids that I should have been, and now they're grown. Or you look back on a relationship that you allowed to just sort of break apart, and you weren't the testimony for Christ that you wish you would have been. That may be true, but those sins of omission are under the blood of Jesus if you know him as your Savior. The call to follow Christ is the call not to follow him backwards into the past, but to follow him forward, to follow him today. So all of us, wherever we are in our walk, we need to look to the example of others, and we need to keep growing into the example that others can follow. This is the beauty of Christian community. We're imperfect. We stumble. We sin. But the Spirit empowers us to daily deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to follow Christ. And as that ordinary, faithful disciple that we all are trying to be, we can invite others, honestly and humbly, to look at us. See, these scriptures give us a clear imperative. But as always, we need to remember that we don't do this in our own strength. In our own strength, we can just try to parrot what Jesus says and does and what other people say and do. And at best, we can just sort of imitate them for a time. But it's not real. It's not in our heart. And it doesn't last. It's not transformative. See, we can only really imitate the good when we draw from the source of the good. Jesus himself is the good that we are called to imitate. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're here this morning, please don't hear what I have said as a self-help sermon. That's not what this is. This is a message for those who have trusted Christ as Savior, that have the life of Christ in them. And so if you don't know him, what you need more of is not more religious activity or just copying others or trying to do what Jesus did, because ultimately that gets us nowhere. Without Jesus, we're all spiritually dead. The dead person can't follow anybody anywhere. But Jesus died to give us his life, and we receive his gift of life by faith. And so that's the invitation for you if you don't know Jesus Christ. But for the Christian, this truth challenges us to be mindful of who we're watching. This command is repeated over and over in the New Testament. We've just seen a few examples, and so it's clear this takes intentional effort. This takes intentional focus. So you may ask yourself, in this season of my life, in this season of your life, are you being intentional about who you're following? Are you being intentional about who you're spending time with, who you're looking up to? Do people in your life that have this kind of character, that follow Jesus closely, do they have passport in your life to be able to speak truth to you, even when it's hard to hear? This is never something we grow beyond. We're all meant to be being discipled by others, even as we are discipling others. Now, if you don't have this in your life, you may ask yourself, who could come alongside you? Maybe there's somebody in this room who you think, you know what, I would love if they came alongside me and helped me in my faith. Maybe you could ask just to meet every other week for coffee and talk about the Word and talk about your walk with Christ and share your struggles and be prayed for and walk together, follow Christ together. Maybe you'd say people are pouring into you. You've had the blessing of mentors and strong disciples pouring into you, and you say, you know what, I don't know that I'm really pouring into anyone else. Well, if that's your situation and you look around this room or you think of the people in your life, who could you encourage? Even this week, who could you take out to lunch? Who could you visit this week and encourage them in their walk with Christ? Don't wait till you've got it all together. You never will. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you have something to offer. Something that struck me as we watched this documentary on the mimic octopus is, first of all, just it's incredible, the way that God made this creature to be able to transform itself in order to survive. But, you know, it struck me, as amazing as it is, the mimic octopus is really just pretending, right? It never actually becomes a lionfish or a sea snake or anything else. It's just swimming like one. It's just looking like one. But the really a cool thing about imitating godly examples in the Christian life is that we're not pretending if we know Jesus, because we are created in the image of God. So the more closely we follow Christ, the more closely we look to the examples of those who are close to Christ, the more we actually become ourselves, the more we become the men and women that God created us to be. And so let's keep our eyes intentionally on those walking close to Christ as we follow him together. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who not only invites us, commands us to follow his example, but he gives us the ability to do so by your indwelling Spirit. We thank you for the examples of faith that you've put in our lives. We thank you for those in this room that so many of us look to as spiritual fathers and mothers, trusted companions on the journey as we follow Christ together. Help us all to just ever be mindful of this command to imitate the good, to be conformed more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.